redundancy when you're doing a program that lasts 3 hours, that you will tend mentally to wear out fairly rapidly. But if you're involved in doing news and doing something else at the same time, it keeps you alert. So that, you know, you have to have constant excitement and it keeps the adrenaline going.
Yeah. In news, we had Aníonna Gaoire, the very first news person, David Brown reading news. John Byrne was our very first news editor. We used to call him John Scoop because everything was a scoop in those days. And I remember one thing about John Byrne. You could tell him something and he would believe it. We told him there was a weather forecast centre in Termonfeckin one time, a Met office. And we gave him the number of, I think it was the Gem, it's now the Weavers. We gave him the number 8590. And John rang this number and some guy was ready on the other end of the telephone. And John would say, well, what's the latest weather forecast from the Met office in Termonfeckin? And this guy went on and said, well, there's going to be showers in Termonfeckin and there's going to be bright spells in Claraghead. And John actually wrote all this down and went on the air. He was a great guy. And we had also Gillian Fitzpatrick, we had Willie Dillon, we had Owen Martell, we had Jeannie McKeever, Michael Devons, Richard Kenny, Shane Harrison, Peter Scott, just to mention a few there in news. Is Anya around?
She's not around. Not as yet.
Well, I thought she was there earlier on, was she not? Oh, no, she hasn't appeared yet. Oh, she hasn't appeared yet. Oh, very good, very good. Now, anybody else would like to take the stand out there? All shaking their heads, afraid of the microphone.
Dermot Kearns will volunteer.
He will indeed. DK, the man who asks so many questions now, we're going to ask him a few questions.
Yeah.
DK, Dermot Kearns. Are you sitting comfortably, sir?
We never did buy a shade for the studio, did we?
We didn't, no, and we certainly won't buy one.
Are you all right there? Just hold on. No, you're not. I never.
This
never
is all live radio,
you're
folks.
About 6 feet away from the microphone.
That'll
so
do. I always like that. Now then, Ed.
Yes, Demers. Nice to have you with
ask
us on this occasion. Ask you a question.
I'm not being paid for this, you know, so.
Neither am I. we won't pack up and go home.
I'll answer any question.
You'll answer any question. Did you enjoy working on Boyneside Radio?
Of course I did.
Good fun.
Next question.
Next question.
And you're only allowed 20.
No, you did a show for the disabled along with the late David Crosby, and right, you did your own show on a Sunday. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, starting off, how I started on radio first was being interviewed by the great himself, Gavin Duffy, or God, was the G initially, yes. God Duffy. And Gavin got me interested in it. I enjoyed chatting to him, and I seemed to be able to chat freely, and that's something I was born with. So I chatted away to him. After a while then, I was talking to Ebon and Gavin, and we came up with this suggestion that there wasn't a program going out purely for disabled people. And we felt that this is a very, very big part of the community. And this was before I was really involved in community work to the degree that I am today. And we decided that we'd put a half hour, a quarter of an hour show on, I forget what it was, I think it was half an hour. And we brought on people like David Crosby and Mary Leahy. And we talked about disablement, what it meant to people who were in a wheelchair, what it meant to be on crutches or what it meant to be whatever, and the disadvantages that they suffered. There was also the great days of, heady days for the disabled of 1981, when the government had promised that all footpaths would automatically now go towards the ground gradually rather than the way that they went, bump and you're there. And nothing happened really. There was going to be toilets for the disabled. I see them now arriving, in 1987 I think they arrived in Drogheda, but they were promised in 1981. So we did a bit of good work. We interviewed people like Oliver Murphy and people of that quality in the disabled field, and they changed things about a bit. After that then we got the television program going. Just can't remember when that was, but I know I still have some tapes of it. And we did I remember particularly we did a Christmas show.
We'll just focus our attention on Boyneside Television, which was one of the only television stations to broadcast from Drogheda.
Yeah, we used to get people ringing in from as far as Tully Allen and places like that. That seems very local when you think of it. But that was good for the first and initial pictures. I suppose it was like the first pictures coming from the moon. They weren't steady at first and then they steadied later. but it was exciting to do, you know.
Yeah, it was different.
If it had taken off, it would have been a great thing.
Yeah, there was so much to put in a television program. So much had to be done. It's different with a radio show. You can sit down, play records, and blabber into a microphone. But with a TV show, you have so many different things, lights and everything.
That's right. I remember one particular one, and I had to chair the show for the political parties. And there were eight of them, I think, that were meeting on the panel that day. And you can imagine having people like Donnchadh MacRinnell, who's gentle at the best of times, you know, but yeah. ferocious when there's an election on. And you had Michael Bell, and who else? There was a girl on, she was a Sinn Féin candidate. And there was Peter Moore was on. There were several of these all on the panel. My God. So I didn't know. I was terrified before we started. And I thought, well, I'll get them all together first before we switch on the microphones. I said, if one of you... Oh, I know. We had Franklin on.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes,
how do you stop him?
I haven't a clue.
I promised faithfully that I had a guy ready to pull the plug on any individual. And, we, you know, we'd name him and then cut him off. We would have done worse to him. I think we would have assassinated him. But believe it or not, we went through an hour and a quarter show on a Sunday from 12 o'clock, I think it was 1:15 we finished. And Patrick Faulkner was on the tour. And I remember he said afterwards, how in the name of God, he said, did you ever keep everybody calm and quiet and have a good conversation with them? Because he said most of these people normally would cut each other's throat. And believe it or not, they, every single one of them behaved themselves very well. Now, you see, I think too, local radio was friendly. Whereas if they had been on RTE, they would have been hyped up to get through to the people in Cork as well as Galway and Donegal. But they knew they weren't going to be spoofing to people in Drogheda. Everybody knew them on first name terms. And that made the difference. That was television. I think that was good. A lot of people told me that they liked the panel thing. That was very good. So that was all it was about television, Eddie.
Yeah, and also, if you look at RTE now, especially on a Sunday, or you see Larry Gogan and people like that on doing their programmes on the radio. And we were doing that, when was it? 6-7 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just what it is.
Larry Gogan, that's the chap with the wrinkled skin.
Yes, 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 yes. Thanks very much.
My granny used to tell me about him. Yeah, I believe he was great. You know, I never heard him myself, but I believe he was tremendous.
Yeah, so DK, the man who asks...
such an age, I think he's doing marvellously well.
Is it yourself you're talking about now? Oh, Larry Gogan, oh yeah.
Gogan.
Yeah.
I think I do very well for my age as well.
Yes.
I always maintain 39 as a good number. And
yeah.
I stayed with it.
So you live
it's
at 39.
Embarrassing my daughter.
So
sometimes.
You live at 39 Trinity Gardens, is that right?
No, I live at number 9 actually, but you could add 3. But I embarrassed my daughter by saying that I'm 39. I was married when I was 4 and a half actually. Had to be married when I was 4 and a half if I was to have a daughter of her age.
Yeah. But well, Dermot, we say thank you very much indeed for joining us on this special day.
Can I just say something else?
Yeah, you can say what you like.
Because
it's all
I gained tremendously from Boyneside Radio. I gained in the pleasure that I had from putting out the shows. But as Director of Community Services, I have to say that forget RTE and forget all the others. If you don't have local radio, you don't get your community across to the public in the same way. Gay Byrne's not going to talk about Tully Allen, nor he's not going to talk about Dooley Gate. You do things like that here. Gay Byrne's not going to interview the local Red Cross about their fundraising activities or somebody about their Sunday fun run. And that happened on here. So as Director of Community Services, I would like to put on record that this broadcasting station here, Boyneside Radio, and particularly Ebon McDonald and Eddie, who gave me tremendous help, all the people who produced the shows and that, and who went to tremendous trouble for to get us the information that we needed and to clear us with what we were doing, that was just great. I can also say, as director of another centre, which is the Aldra Malta Workshops for the Disabled, we have 64 disabled people up there. Believe you me, it's an honest statement when I tell you that without the publicity, the PR that we got through Boyneside Radio, I don't think we'd have 64 up there today. We might have about 30 odd, but we never would have raised the funds that we did without Boyneside Radio. And finally, I am also the director of the Community Chest, which everybody thinks Dermacares makes a lot of money out of. But the town makes a tremendous amount of money out of it. That is a success today, and I mean a success, only because we had PR from Boyneside Radio. So I have a lot to be grateful to, Eamon McDonald, Eddie, every single one of you here that's in this room and that's out there in the public. You've given tremendously of your time and your effort to help us as a community. And I represent, I hope, the community voice. I know it's closing down. I believe it will reopen. I hope it reopens as the same radio station. I hope it's in the same building at least, and that all the people who are here will be involved. If I can do something in that field, I will be in there fighting. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, DK. A little round of applause, I think. Good stuff. Dermot Kearns there, great man, DK, asking the questions. Now, what have we got next? We were talking about news earlier on. People say to me, "Is I doing a great service there?" And particularly with the news. So can we dig up something from the news? Let's see, what have we got here?
The condition of two local men involved in a car accident at the Brookville filling station on the Ballymakenny Road on Sunday night was described today by a hospital spokesman as satisfactory. They are John Doran, still in the Lourdes Hospital, and Aidan McNally, who is in the Mater Hospital in Dublin. A Meath County Council spokesman confirmed today...
We're listening to Richard Crowley, famous Richard Kenny, Richard Crowley.
...to demolish the historic building was not in fact being processed. The spokesperson explained that this was due to the owner, Mrs. Delaney, not having submitted the required maps and plans with the application. A new application would now be required if the demolition, which is met with considerable objections from local historians, was to go ahead. The Board of Works expect to complete their work at Lawrence's Gate this week.
Yes, that was this. That was a bit of Richard Crowley reading news on Boyneside Radio back sometime around about 1981, or Community Radio Drogheda as it was. We had two for a while there. David?
Eddie, I want to remind you of something.
What?
It's 2 o'clock.
Is it? It's 2 o'clock.
It's 2 o'clock on LRD, and time for the Heady Eddie Show.
He's here. He's here.
Now, the only sad thing about it is I'm still here. That was 10 years ago, and I'm still here. Now, it's just gone 2 o'clock, 1 hour, the final countdown, 60 minutes left here on Boyneside Radio. Anybody else wants to drop in round the old round table out there?
I want to make sure of one thing, that you don't get away without being interviewed as well, because your input into the station is kind of important, especially when it comes to, sellotape, bundles of wire, a bit of string, and a clothesline. What would that end up
with? Are you talking about one of my transmitters? Sounds like
sure it. I'm talking about one of your transmitters.
Yeah.
Yes. And a fellow called Con, do you remember him?
Oh, didn't I do. When I first joined local radio, it was in Dundalk, May 1978, Radio Dundalk. I hadn't a clue about a transmitter. I knew something about a tractor and Wellington boots and things like that. And I met this guy from Cork, Con, and he was the engineer at the time, and he had a couple of valves sticking out of a piece of tin. I said, that is actually the transmitter. I was expecting to see something in a box with meters on it and things like that. But that's how I first got involved in transmitters, and just because there was nobody else really looking after them, and it's a case of having to sort of do-it-yourself job. Isn't that right, David?
Well, one thing I want to make sure it happens is, I know you're not going to give yourself self-praise, but I think it's fair to say that Heady Eddie is one of the country's best transmission engineers, especially the ones that come in metal boxes. I think, how many stations would you be responsible for now? Are you going to admit to it?
Oh, I haven't a clue. I haven't a clue, because I started off servicing Boyneside and all that, and I sold a few to other people, but a mate of mine, Jerry Riley, was the man who actually took over, because I'm working here full time, so I hadn't time to go around setting up stations and all that. I wasn't really that keen on it anyway. I preferred just to sit and do a weekly job.
Well, Eddie, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't get away without a mention about yourself.
Yeah, will we just say something about the transmitters, will we?
Do, yeah.
Well, LRD began with 9 watts, we were saying. And I remember when I first was coming into Drogheda to listen to it, I remember picking up at Newtown Cross, which is about 2 miles outside Drogheda, the very first time I heard it. Paddy Everett was on the air. And I remember he was even playing Dan Hartman Instant Replay. That's the first time I ever heard local radio Drogheda. We got this linear amplifier. Do you remember that?
No, you've got to say that with a particular accent, Eddie.
Linear amplifier, right. Yes. We had a couple of guys here, George Jacob, Michael McConnon, and people like that were involved. And I remember Gavin going over for this linear amplifier to England. And this was going to cover the country.
We were going to reach to Limerick, if you remember. Yeah.
And I don't know how Gavin ever got it across. It was a mighty piece of apparatus, and how he got it through customs and through everything else. He brought it over on the boat, and what happened? Never worked. Never worked. It was a pity, because it was a lovely piece of equipment, but it actually never worked. The first attempted raid on Boyneside Radio, do you remember that? It was sometime around June, holiday weekend 1979. We were actually broken down. We were off the air.
at the time.
And we were broadcasting from Tullyesker, you remember. We did a weekend broadcast from Tullyesker. And we weren't actually raided, but we were visited by by the department guys, or P&T it was back then. The first Heady Eddie transmitter went into use about August 1979. We went to Crystal at about November 79 because foreign stations were blotting us out, so we had to use Crystals. And that's basically it, the technical side. We'll take another record, or we'll regroup ourselves here. And this is one which I'll probably play to myself tomorrow morning when I turn on the radio. This song will come to mind.
Streets full of people, alone. Roads full of houses, never home. Church full. Everyone's gone to the moon.
That's good old Jonathan King. Everyone's gone to the moon. Well, not everybody. Some of them still here. Are you all still out there?
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes.
Good spirits. Great to hear people in such good spirits. Are you all out there? Yeah, we're here. Anyway, we're going to look at nighttime music. It started round about, I think, November 1979. David, are you still out there?
Hold on.
Somewhere,
yeah, sorry.
We started nighttime music as an experiment. You remember that? We used to be here at night in the evening times, and we'd close down at 7 or 8 or something and say, we'd just go up to the studio and just play records.
Well, that's right, because if you remember, at that time you were doing a lot of testing with transmitters, and you used to play Stars on 45 as your test piece of music. And I think people were eventually getting to the stage that were running around the streets screaming if they would hear this particular record, because it was long enough. And to explain very briefly to people, when Eddie was testing his transmitters, he wanted plenty of volume and plenty of beats. And I always wanted to put on nice, gentle records at that hour of the night. And he said, no, I need plenty of sound to get this thing tested out. So eventually, when he was happy that everything was running, we started into nighttime music.
Yes.
It brought another problem, though, Eddie.
Mm, oh, yes. Technical problems.
No, not really technical. More romantic.
Oh, yes.
I think Jim Agnew can probably explain that better than I can.
Yes. Well, I'll say one thing about it. Lots of people know me now. I'm a married man with two kids. I'll have to say, I met the missus through it.
Never knew that.
Well, I decided, yes, I would spill the beans today.
Can anybody find Radio Romance quickly?
Well, actually, last night we were out actually celebrating, and I actually met her 9 years ago last night at the Boyneside Roadshow we had in the White Horse Hotel. Do you remember those?
I remember that one, yeah. We even went out and got T-shirts made and everything.
We did. And I met this innocent little girl, and I said, do you listen to nighttime music? She said, yeah. Would you like to come down some night to see how it all works? And she said, yeah. So, I bet she's the sorriest day of her life. We just go back to those days.
Well, a nice one there, taking us right back to 1978. That was Dean Friedman and his very first chart hit single. That one got, in actual fact, to number 38 in the top 75 of July 1978. That was Woman of Mine. More music, and we go back in time again to 1977. These are the Rubettes. A nice one too, called Baby, I Know.
Where did I get that voice? Like, I don't know. That was nighttime music, sometime around late 79, early 1980. We are joined in the studio by one Jim Agnew. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Eddie.
How are you?
Devil the bother.
Devil the bother. You took over nighttime music when I, what?
Got married.
Threw in the towel about 1984.
Yeah, I came here straight from school for a summer job, and I was just hanging around.
Yep.
And then Eddie decided he didn't want to work nights, so I got thrown in at the deep end.
Well, I became a married man, Jim. So, what two little boxes are you talking about? Boxes of records.
Two little boxes.
I hope you have them with you today.
They're still in the wardrobe at home.
So tell us something about all the requests and favourite fives and all that.
I actually got my favourite five played twice on Heady Eddie's old programme.
Really?
I'm an old nighttime music fan from way back.
But 1979 or 1980?
Yeah, back around about then. 81 CRD days, anyhow.
Yeah, yeah. We had some great times.
Think back then that I'd end up being sitting in here night after night looking at the wallpaper and playing records. But I'd do it all over again. It was good crack. You get to meet lots of nice people on the phone, too.
Yeah.
I won't go through mentioning them all. There's so many from all over the place.
Yeah, like myself, there's so many happy memories. So many nice people ring you up and just say nice things to you. I know everybody's doing it all this week, but even back then, people would wish you well and all.
Yeah. The old line of, would you like to come down and see how everything works, was used a few times over the years as well.
Tell me, did it work for you?
Well, out of here, I've got a girlfriend for 2.5 years now, Catherine, who was secretary. We both started the same day here.
Yeah.
Maybe that was romantic. Maybe we'll make a film out of it someday.
And would you just go on to say you met Catherine through Boyneside Radio?
Yes, we started work the very same day.
Yeah.
I walked in and she was sitting behind the desk.
Yeah.
And I thought, not bad.
She'll do. Why is he suddenly got a belt of a handbag over the head? Well, Jim, nice talking to you. Nice to see you back in again for this last...
Yeah, it's good to be here, Eddie. Do it all over again.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take another break, back with more music. Do stay with us. We have 49 minutes left.
Hello, Tommy Leddy here. Booking is taking place at the Parochial Theatre, Pitt Street, with this year's Panto, Puss in Boots. Matinee tickets for children are only £1.50, and for adults, £4. All knife and matinees are booked. At night, adults are £4, and on select night, children are only £2. Please don't leave it too late to book, as booking at this very moment is very heavy, especially for the matinees, and we don't want to see anyone tonight. Bye-bye now.
Sale starts Tuesday, January the 3rd at 10 a.m. at Furs of Ireland Abbey Shopping Centre. Huge reductions on leathers, sheepskins and furs. All other stock reduced.
On the night, the 2nd of January, is a night not to be missed. At the Swan Inn, Georgia Street, Drogheda, it's the fabulous Tony Allen in concert. Don't forget, Tony Allen from Foster and Allen. It's on Monday, the 2nd of January. Doors open at 8 p.m. Come early and avoid disappointment at Beverly's Nightclub, the Swan Inn, Georgia Street, Drogheda. It's Tony Allen.
Twigs winter sale now on with fantastic reductions, like £10 off selected styles of denims, trousers from £9.99 and up to £15 off shirts and knitwear at the Twigs winter sale. Twigs, West Street, Drogheda, Dundalk and Navan Shopping Centre. Twigs winter sale now on.
Fairgreen Motor Factors, Fairgreen and Drogheda, for your free fit exhaust. 10% off all exhausts. Batteries from £23 and 2-year guarantee. And fitted free. Battery charges from £15. Antifreeze, de-icer, damp start and jump leads from £3. Spotlights, fog lights from £17.50 a pair. Fairgreen Motor Factors, Fairgreen Drogheda.
Corrigan and Martin, West Street, Drogheda, for all life assurance, school fees, endowment mortgages, motor and property insurances. Phone 38600 or 31199. Corrigan and Martin, West Street, Drogheda, wishing all our clients and friends a prosperous new year.
The Sweet Shop, Abbey Shopping Centre, Drogheda, January sale starts Tuesday the 3rd of January. Doors open 10 a.m. Great reductions on all sweets. Drail-on sweets from as little as £199. The Sweet Shop, Abbey Shopping Centre, Drogheda, sale starts Tuesday the 3rd of January. Doors open 10 a.m. You're very welcome back. It's 14 minutes past 2 on Boyneside Radio, AM, FM and shortwave on our very last 46 minutes. Now, joining us in the studio is Tony Clayton Lee. Tony, can you hear me out there?
I can indeed, Eddie. How are you?
I'm fine. I haven't seen you in years.
Same here, Eddie. I can still remember your pockmarked face, and it's great to see you again after all these years.
Well, it has expanded a little bit. I have put on a little bit of weight now since you remember me in 1979. Now, tell us, how did you get involved, Tony?
With Boyneside Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
I can remember. I used to work in a factory called Centronics, who closed down in Drogheda a number of years ago. And there used to be somebody in Dundalk, a mutual friend of ours.
Martin.
Martin, that's right.
Yeah.
And Martin was involved with the radio station in one of the radio stations in Dundalk.
That's right.
And I remember to him one day saying that I had thought it would be a good idea to see how a pirate radio station worked, as in those days they were then known. And so Martin brought me up to Dundalk, and I had a couple of shows on the radio station up there, but it didn't really work out because of the travelling arrangements, really. And Martin mentioned that he knew you.
That's right.
Would I be interested in having a chat with you? And I said yes, and we did, and things worked out fine. And then ever since that brief informal conversation we had about 10 years ago, I joined the station for about, I think it was approximately 4 years.
Yes, yeah. He did a rock show type program, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's going to lose term, I suppose.
Alternative music, maybe. Alternative.
Sorry? Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Tony. We wish you all the best.
No problem, Eddie.
Thanks for joining us today.
Bye.
Now, anybody, is Anya around there yet? Is Anya Nguia around yet? How are you? Is Anya there?
I have something while we're just waiting, yes, maybe to find her. And this is something that was just handed to me a few minutes ago. Two press cuttings. One from the Evening Press of the 23rd of February 1982. And it says, RTE puts jam on pirate TV. RTE technicians have taken up the gauntlet thrown down by pirate television in Drogheda. Since February last, reception from Boyneside TV has been poor because of intermittent jamming from a test signal being transmitted by RTE from a mobile van. The van situated at the rear of the West Street post office was directing a signal on Channel D at the Pirates area on Donaghy's Mill, with a consequent loss of picture on sound from the Boyneside transmitter. And one of the things about that was that we actually went down with a camera and filmed them jamming us and then put it out on the news. So we rumbled them very, very early. During the election campaign, all the Louth candidates broadcast from both stations, and Dr. Fitzgerald gave an interview to Community Radio Drogheda, frequently heard on programmes from both pirate stations, was former Minister for Posts and Telegraphs, Mr. Pádraig Faulkner, TD. So there you are,
okay.
Down in print.
Thank you, David. Now, Seamus McKenna is joining us. Seamus, just take a seat there very, very briefly. Just say how you got involved and your farewells and all the rest. Seamus was on, what, about 1979, Seamus?
About 1979, Eddie, yeah.
Right.
I think at the time I was working on independent radio in Galway.
Yeah.
And around Easter time in 79, I came to Drogheda and came to see Gavin and offered to do a sort of an exchange program where he would take some requests here. I would play them on the radio in Galway, and I would take some requests in Galway and he would have them played here in Drogheda. And out of that, eventually, the summer of 79 came a trial program, and then I was on 7 days a week for a period.
I actually have a photograph. You brought in some photographs of
some very old photographs.
Gavin leaning up against the outside broadcast Boyneside caravan.
The outside broadcast. I don't remember if you can remember back to a day when we took the caravan up to, I think it was Finian's Park or up to Rathmullen.
That's
there was
right.
A sports going on up there.
I remember it very well.
We wanted to play some music for the children above and to announce some results of races and the like.
Yeah.
But in order to do it, we needed a very large set of speakers. And the speakers were located in the Ashling Ballroom in Clara Head.
I do remember.
Not so far from where you live yourself.
Yeah.
And we went to the Ashling, the pair of us, with, I don't know if it was one of the yellow and black or the yellow and white vans or what we took out there to collect these speakers. But we went to the Ashling, we went inside, and we nearly collapsed laughing on the floor because there were about 100 people inside, all dressed up in these judo suits. And they were undergoing a judo lesson. They were carrying out these exercises, and they were all moving about and breathing and everything together in harmony, and everything synchronized, and everything was very, very serious. You could hear a pin drop in the place when they weren't actually exercising. And we walked in, started dying laughing, and we thought we wouldn't get out with our lives, because
that was
we upset them a little bit,
yeah.
But we had some good fun that time. We had some good fun lots of times,
we
I suppose.
Had. And these photographs, Seamus, I'll just have a look over these for a while.
Some of the photos there, I suppose they're 9 years old now, and there are people on them like David Brown here who...
That's right. John
Byrne. Has changed quite a bit.
Ken
like
Murray
myself,
looks,
like
look.
Myself.
Ken
like
Murray
myself,
looks
he's beginning to spread a bit.
Ken Murray looks...
Ken Murray, bit. He... Ken looks like he's just come from primary school at the time.
Yeah.
Gavin looks very young there. Stereo Jerry.
The guy with the headphones, I didn't put his name down today because I never knew his name. We just called himself Stereo Jerry.
I think Stereo Jerry was responsible for the information, which the tip-off, when we were raided back in the June weekend in 79.
That's right.
And there was a tip-off. We cleared the place here one night. And we left the bare minimum of equipment in it. And the following day, we all waited with bated breath. The programs went on as per normal. And we all waited for the raid, which didn't come.
Okay.
I don't know if you can remember that.
I remember that raid. We all were panicking and nothing ever happened.
Yeah, one or two other people on there. I was glad to see Tony Clayton Lee here. Tony used to do some of his programs standing up.
That's right.
He wouldn't sit down. He used to stand at the microphone.
And I just remember one little incident when Tony Clayton Lee was going to go on air and something frightened him terribly. Yeah. Are you there, Tony?
I am, yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
I can't actually, Eddie. I was just preparing to go into the first record of the show, and Gavin was in the studio. I think he had just done some announcement. And E-Bomb was on, has just popped his first coke here. anyway, I was just about to go into the first record, and Gavin, prior to me literally just taking the mic in my hand, pulled down his trousers and shoved his hairy back. It was a sight for sore eyes. I'm glad to say it's something that I haven't seen since.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Seamus.
That's a trick that Gavin played on me one time too. Can I just say one thing before I finish off? I'd wish Ebon the best. I'd wish you all the very best.
Thanks, Seamus.
I hope that this is the crew that do eventually get the license.
Yeah.
And one very fond memory I have, it goes back about, I suppose, 8 or 9 years. I was finishing up from a summer, going back to college. I wasn't going to be on the radio again, maybe until Christmas. And I got a call from somewhere in Mornington, and this lady brought in her son, who turned out to be my biggest and my smallest fan all in one. It was a 3 or 4 year old, a little guy who used to, every day, 5 o'clock, used to say to the mother, "Seamus McKenna's going to be on the radio, we better turn it on there." And it turned out to be, as I say, the biggest and smallest fan, all rolled up in one package. I don't remember the name, it's a long time ago.
Thank you indeed, Seamus, and best of luck to you. Michael Gerrard, are you around?
I am here, Eddie, yes.
Michael Gerrard has been known as Michael Lightning Fingers Gerrard because he
panelled... And a black man as well for some strange reason, Eddie.
Marathon man. He wears all black and he's a...
Well, not today, so it's in the wash after Christmas.
Yeah. Well, I thought you would be in black today morning.
Not today, Eddie, no.
Michael, tell us something about how you started.
Well, I really started in Boyneside about 3 years ago. And I remember actually having the pleasure to panel DK's Sunday. There just goes the phone there. Well done, Margaret. I actually used to panel DK's program on a Sunday lunchtime. And I actually remember getting a call from Ebon. I think it was a Tuesday. I actually remember the day as well. Declan McGann, I think, is here. I think Decky was sick, and I got a call at 25 past 7. And the show was actually on at 7:30, and I hadn't got a clue about radio. I was more or less on for that first time. I had 5 minutes to actually go, come over here and actually do a program. And thanks, Eddie, I remember that. And that's more or less it. I did Declan's program that night, and then after a while, I used to continue to do DK's program on a Sunday. And I used to come over here on a Saturday night. I remember David Brown used to be on Saturday nights between 8 and 12. And he more or less showed me the ropes, so to speak. And I'd like to thank David Brown for that. And I was doing Saturday nights. I was doing a program a week, 4-hour program a week. And there just goes more champagne on the good carpet. And after a while, Neil O'Brien used to do Sunday nights as well. So I used to come over here to Neil as well. He used to teach me one or two things about radio. And all of a sudden, he left. So then I got the opportunity to do both nights, Saturday and Sunday. And up until recently there, I believe Jim Agnew had to go off to America for a few months. And I got more or less nearly every night on the radio, more or less 6 nights from 7:30 to 11:30, which is a great opportunity for me because I really enjoyed it. And keep talking, isn't
Marathon
it?
Marathon man.
That's another one as well, yeah.
Yes.
And basically, all I can say at this stage is thank you to Yvonne McDonald for giving me the pleasure, giving me more or less the opportunity to go on local radio. And hopefully, I'll be talking to you again next year. Fingers crossed. So, is Eddie back yet?
Yeah, I'm here, Michael. Yes. Yes. I was actually talking to a gentleman on the phone. Could we line up Declan McGowan there? First man I see, Declan. And just while Declan's getting into position, I want to say, is the boss there? He is. Boss there.
He's here somewhere. Yeah.
He's there. A gentleman was on the phone to me a few minutes ago, and he wants you to remember the Corona Blanca when the radio station opened up. His name is Joe and Mrs. Keeley out there. So a little word there from the boss. Good luck to you, Ebon, from Joe Keeley, your friend, who wants you to remember the Corona Blanca. Okay, Decky.
Eddie.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Decky, a few words from you there. When did you start?
83, I think.
Yeah.
Some way halfway through school, I started off. Just going back to everyone talking about the first show, and Tony Clayton Lee came in there. I remember when I walked in for my first show, Tony was on the air talking, and I walked in, burst in the studio door, not knowing a thing about it. And there was Tony talking away. And he stopped halfway through and took a sip out of a cup of tea and carried on, because that was the way Tony always carried on his show. It was totally unorthodox, but brilliant. Yeah. But then I remember a week later, the Stones were out in Slane, and Ebon roped me into going out to the caravan. And I think it was myself and Neil O'Brien. Neil went out at 4, and I went out at 8. And nobody else arrived until 8 o'clock the next morning. We were roped into doing 12 hours all overnight.
Good fun, bud. Brilliant. Good. And I remember doing my green scene from there, from that caravan, at a whole lot of rock fans going to see the Rolling Stones, and this lunatic in a caravan playing Irish records, we rock, as rule of Ulya. Decky, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks a lot.
Great pleasure
just
working
again,
with you.
Again, I'd like to say thanks to all of you.
Yeah.
Great time while I was here. Thanks, Ebon.
Great. Now, we line up somebody else. Robbie Burns, you take the stand. Robbie has just returned from London. Robbie was with us earlier on in the year. Smooth talking, clean cut looking gentleman. Robbie, welcome.
Are you sure it's me you want to talk?
Yes,
to?
It is you, Robbie. Yes.
Actually, I think I hold the record for the shortest stay in Boyneside. I think that's probably the truth of it. Do you want to hear about my broadcasting career, Eddie?
Yeah, you can just briefly, because we've so many people to get through.
Well, actually, it's funny enough, I'm probably more associated with Radio Carousel, but my broadcasting career started back in 1981 in Boyneside Radio, which very few people know. I think Joe Price was the gentleman's name. He was roped into going down to Navan and starting up a Boyneside down there, and I went in, tape in hand, and managed to get a programme. So that went on for a couple of months, and then we moved to, I think everybody from the station really moved over to the other station in the town at that time. But 3 months of very enjoyable work, very enjoyable programmes in Boyneside, from I think it was February until April, and it was great. I think Ebon has done a wonderful job since then.
Yeah, thank you, Robbie. Great
thank
lad. Give him a little round of applause there. Come on. Ah, great lad. Robbie Burns there. Now, who else is out there? Mark Garvey.
Oh, God.
It's Mark Garvey. Mark Garvey. Come lawful.
Since I've been talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, welcome along. Welcome along to the final show. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing? How you started?
Oh, well, I got interested years and years ago when Darren Nelson used to be on the station. And he had some competitions going, and he used to give away records and stuff. And he was looking for people to actually take part in a competition. And I organized a couple of us to go up to the top of Donaghy's Mill and make our way through the cobwebs and everything. And we held the microphones for about 2 hours and answered questions. And then he closed it down. And that's how I got started, I suppose. And then I remember when I started here, I just sent in a tape. It was just after you'd been raided.
Can I just interrupt you, Mark? You're just talking about Dara. We have something on Dara here.
You have something on Dara.
Yeah, have a listen.
Heady Eddie. Ah, oh, yeah. Good old Heady. Do you know, I have never seen Heady Eddie drink beer in my life. He's the only person who drinks milk and water together. And he doesn't do anything that doesn't really agree with him. And he's a real sucker. I'll spell that for you. He's a real sucker for fitness. He goes to fitness classes at least twice a week. And you know, he's one of the most clean living persons I've ever had the occasion to meet. And my gum, I've met lots of people, but not as clean living as our Heady Eddie. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't do anything like that. He always wears nice clothes, always washed, always clean shaven. And being a disc jockey, talking all the time, he's got wonderful breath. He really does. And I think the accolade of Boyneside Radio's DJ of the day goes to Heady Eddie and the Boyneside Radio Choir to sing...
1, 2, 3. He's so terrific, he's a superstar, you know. It's Heady Eddie of Boyneside Radio.
What do you make of that?
You're telling me about Dara, and one of the things he did on you is one day he came in and he says, I've got Hedy Eddy a new chair. But I haven't plugged it in yet.
Great.
So he was spontaneous. He had it. I mean, it was great.
Mark, it was great working with you.
Oh, it was great fun working. I mean, to get in here, it was brilliant. It's just been everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I thank Yvonne and Eddie and everybody that's in here, and we all get a big clap now. And toast going. Yep. Thanks very much, Eddie.
Yeah. Next in line for the microphone is John Bonner, Jerry Malone. Is he there? Yes, here he comes. Jerry.
Hello, Eddie.
You're the man who brought all the news stories to the green scene on the Saturday.
That's right.
And the Sunday.
That's right. That goes back since, I started doing... First of all, let me say, Eddie, I was sitting at home in Dundalk and tuned into Boyneside, and I had to drive down here to
be part of... It's the place to be today, if you're anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, the Boyneside news... I actually started with Radio Dundalk in 1978 doing sports news, and... I progressed from there to Boyneside, and I always remember it was Anya who first put me in contact with the news in around 1979-1980, and I remember covering the general election in 1981 with Boyneside television. And then I got on to Ebon in 1984, and since 1984 I've been involved in doing the news at the weekends, and since that, and it's been over four and a half years. Eddie.
Yes, sorry.
Eddie.
I'm still here. I actually got some of this lovely champagne.
Lovely.
Beautiful.
Lovely. But, Eddie, it's been great working with you on the Green Scene show
We had some laughs, didn't we, Jerry?
We had some fantastic laughs last four and a half years.
You wouldn't believe what goes on in the background. You know, like, Jerry come on real serious with the news, and after we'd be giggling here for a half an hour beforehand with some little thing that happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Do you remember the famous Hurricane?
I do. Hurricane Charlie.
I think Hurricane Charlie, I'll never forget that, because on my weather forecast on that Sunday, I had predicted there would be no wind and no rain in the Boyneside area for about 3 or 4 days. And then suddenly that night, a low pressure area came from nowhere and devastated the Boyneside area. I was very worried at the time, actually, but anyway, the important thing is, anyway, the last four and a half years have been fantastic here. I'm not even going to describe what Eddie's doing at the moment here. But the last four and a half years working with the Boyneside team, in particular, Mike Ahern, it's been great working with him. It's been fantastic working with Anya too. And, of course, not to forget someone who left Boyneside 4 years ago, but who I had the pleasure of working with, Shane Harrison.
Yeah, I think we'll roll in Shane next, will we? Thank you, Jerry. Thank you very much.
I think Shane is going to come over and talk to us.
And we'll get Neil O'Brien as well, both together, because Neil and Shane have popped in today. Both Neil and Shane are working with the BBC. Yeah.
Neil, Bradford Bricklaying Company, Eddie, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. We'll go to Shane first off. Shane, can you hear me out there?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. You joined sometime around 1981, was it?
Yes, I joined when there were two stations in
Drogheda. Yes, that's right.
And in a sense, I must always be grateful to Frank Buckley, to Jim Kearns, and to Anya Carberry for getting me into broadcasting in the first place. And because there were two stations at the time, advertising revenue was very, very tight. So I must also be grateful to Ebon and Septa MacDonald, who for numerous weeks used to put their own hands into the back pocket to pay the wages. So I'm quite grateful to all of those people for getting me involved in broadcasting.
Lovely. You since moved on.
Yes, I left Boyneside around 84 to go back to university to do a master's degree. And then I joined the BBC, and I have stayed there ever since.
And you host Spotlight, isn't it?
Yes, I'm a reporter on Spotlight, the BBC television programme in Northern Ireland.
Well, thank you, Shane. We wish you all the best indeed. Thanks for coming down to us today on our special day. Thank you, Shane. Neil O'Brien. Neil.
Hello there, Eddie. Just one funny thing that I always remember. Just Shane there mentioned...
It's not about the chair, is it?
No. There's plenty of funny stories that I could tell, but there's one I always remember. Just talking to Mike Kluskey, who is here today. Mike and myself, when there were two stations in town, Mike used to do the Saturday morning show 8 to 10, and I used to do one in the other station. And we both lived in the same part of the town. And quite often I'd be walking down the road and Mike would come along on his bicycle and give me a bar down. Mm-hmm. And we'd come down to West Street and I'd go up Duke Street and he'd go over and we'd meet each other again at 10:30 and walk home together.
Yeah.
So there always was that tie of friendship, even though we were not working together.
We sort of fell out for a couple of months.
But we all got back together.
Yeah, it was just unusually happened. You know, we decided that Drogheda needed a station, a good station. Two halves were no good, so we made one out of the two.
Yes.
So Neil, any happy memories for you have?
Plenty of of them, so many that it's hard. And in fact, so many of them are in jokes that they wouldn't really go over.
Could just say the one about you pulling the chair from under me doing my show.
Well, that goes back to about, it must be December of 1982, I think it was.
Yeah.
I over Christmas, when things are so hectic, the studios kind of get quite messy, full of papers of all kinds. So I decided one day that it was about time I cleaned it all up, because I couldn't work in a dirty environment.
Yeah.
So I set about doing it anyway. Eddie was on doing his usual afternoon delight show and playing a certain tape. Can we mention the tape?
No,
we won't mention the tape. I think we have to. At the time, we needed one particular song. We couldn't get it on record at the time.
That's right.
So Eddie taped it off BBC.
That's right.
And Tommy Vance.
Top 40, yes.
I was talking to Tommy the other day. He said it was all right.
Yeah, know? Okay, but thanks.
Anyway, Eddie was working away on the air, talking away, and played the tape. I decided to take his chair out of the way so that I could clean behind it. So Eddie then went to... the tape was nearly up. Eddie went to speak after the tape, went to sit down, talking live in the air at the time, sat down, the chair was no longer there. Ended up sitting on the floor in a mass of papers.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Neil.
Thank you, Eddie.
And great to
just
have
before
you.
I do go, yeah. I want to wish you all the best. I had 7 years fond memories working here, and I know that the team are here to keep a local station alive in Drogheda for many years to come. Thank you.
I've actually spent 10 years, the best 10 years of my life here.
I'd be there.
I'm very happy to be here. Anyway,
Eddie,
to be still.
Thank you again for all your help in the technical area.
No problem.
You started me off on
maybe you can get me a job now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Now then, we just have a couple of requests in. We have one here for Eddie and Katrina, that is Ebon and family and all the Boyneside staff. Thank you for all the good old days. Do you remember the wagon wheel? Maggie and all and Cullen, do we remember the wagon wheel? We used to meet up there every day for lunch and have great fun in the wagon wheel. I could be here till 6 o'clock this evening talking about all the fun we had in the wagon wheel. Thank Dermot Finglas and Radio Drogheda for your support and for the new daycare centre. Dermot Finglas and all the rest of Boyneside, from Mrs. Kathleen Kelly. Now, Áine Ní Gaoire, we'll say hello to Áine. We've been trying to get hold of Áine for the last couple of hours. Áine?
I'm here, Eddie.
You're there. I remember first meeting you, Áine. I was doing my programme, and you walked into the studio, and the old studio up in Donaghy's Mill had a board going across, and everybody used to lean on this board. There was a shelf in it. I remember you coming into me and saying you came home from England or something. Would you like to say how you got involved, Áine?